Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
It is the first day of February 2014. I'm your host, GD. Welcome to iArtist Presents on A Touch of Grace. The fight for equality began decades ago, and since that time, much blood has been shed on battlefields around the globe. As we face the uncertain future, we must never forget the shoulders upon which we stand, for they are courageous and strong. February was deemed Black History Month, and it is an annual observance in the United States, Canada, and the UK for remembrance of influential people from the past, current, and the future. The precursor to this inspiring month was created back in 1926 in the United States when historian Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. Now, I obtained that information from Wikipedia, and this broadcast today is dedicated to those who stared down the barrel of adversity, who stood steadfast, defiantly behind the powerful words, "I am somebody." And listeners, never forget that you are somebody. Her name is Arthur M. Ann Ricks, Melissa Ann. She is a writer of Christian fiction, residing in Bear, Delaware, with her family, a husband, and two sons. She is a graduate of Rider University. Using Jesus Christ as her divine muse, she creates fictional tales where fictional characters face relevant worldly issues. Inserting the word of God to convey meaningful messages, she not only inspires the heart, but soul as well. Her spirit is rich in the glory of the word, and she joins A Touch of Grace today to discuss her spiritual walk through the pages of her very own literary creation. I welcome M. Ann Ricks. Well, how are you doing, Melissa?
I am doing awesome, awesome. How are you doing, GD?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic, and I want to thank you for joining the show today. You are the very first guest for Black History Month, so it is an honor to have you. And what's the weather like where you are?
Oh, I am so excited because today is 50 degrees because we have been experiencing weather, you know, below zero and Arctic freezing weather. So I'm so happy that it is way above freezing today, so I'm excited. Oh, yay!
Well, I want to say I'm excited for you guys. Here it's gotten a little cold, and, you know, in California we cry when it gets like 30 degrees, so you have nothing but my sympathy and my compassion.
you probably would have been having a tantrum under the weather conditions that we were having, because I know California is not used to anything below what? Did you say 30 degrees or 40 degrees?
Yeah, exactly. We're not used to it. When it starts getting below 50, you know, we bringing out the long johns, bringing out the furry hats and everything else. So,
oh, my goodness. Yeah.
All right.
Well, happy, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Happy Black History Month to you, and thank you so much for that intro. That was absolutely awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. The show will be recorded, so you'll be able to share it with whoever you'd like, and it will also be in the archive on the show page. So let's go ahead and start the show, and can you tell us in your own words what earlier life was like for you, and elaborate on when and where you first tapped into this marvelous gift of writing?
Well, earlier life, I guess my childhood was good. I had a great childhood. I have awesome, awesome parents, Deacon Ernest and Ann Smith. And I am originally from Elizabeth, New Jersey, so I am a Jersey girl. And my parents were very supportive, very present. So I really didn't want for anything, didn't really need for anything. It was just I had people around me, family who loved me, friends from the church who prayed for me, people that poured into me. So I haven't any really complaints about my young life. I'm just blessed that people prayed for me. You know that song, Somebody Prayed for Me, Somebody Had mm-hmm. Me on Their Mind? I know many a person praying for me, praying for my life, and whatever they prayed for me, it's coming to fruition, because I know the one thing that they prayed was that I would come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph because their prayers were answered. So that's really all I could say for my earlier life. But as I got older, and as many people, you get older and you kind of steer away from your roots, and you steer away from what you thought was the crux of who you were, and you try to find, you know, other things to think that that's who you are. And I'm like, no, I had to come back to the core of who I was, and I had to reunite myself with the Master. They say that you train up a child in the way that that child should go, and when that child gets older, that child has no other choice but to come back to who they are. And who I am is who Jesus called me to be, and that is a woman of God. And as I began to get closer and closer to who God has called me to be as a woman, he opened my eyes as to what he has destined me to be, and that is a writer, and to write more about him, and using that gift to bring people into the full knowledge of Jesus the Christ.
Well, I have to tell you, I love it when guests just, you know, go ahead and talk, because this is a platform that celebrates their life and their spiritual journey. So I'm so glad that you feel that comfortable here. And so what I want to talk about a little bit is your childhood. Okay, you said that you had a pretty good childhood. Are you the only child in the family?
I am not. I am one of five. I am the baby girl, however. I have a brother that's younger than me. So I have three older sisters and one younger brother.
I see. And so you had five in the household. I think yesterday's guest or the day before had seven. So that's, you know, a big family. So what was it like? Was it chaotic, or did you guys get along, or were you all pushed toward a more spiritual direction?
Well, we all got along for the most part because we weren't allowed to fight. We were not allowed to fight, but we did because we were kids. But we were not allowed to do it, you know, and let our parents know about it, because they always told us that you're going to have to fight enough against the issues of the world, the things of the world. You better make sure that you know you have camaraderie and love and affection towards your brother or sister, because it's enough. You're going to have to do enough fighting when you get out there on your own. So
Amen.
We weren't really allowed to fight. So that's what, you know, and my parents, both my parents worked. My father, engineer, my mother was a nurse, so you know, they worked hard, put five kids through college, so they had a good handle on it, so to speak. We tried to do everything we were supposed to do.
That sounds fantastic, and I just want to give a special congratulations out to your parents for being parents and really raising. Sounds like they raised some really good, decent children who have grew up and have become something, a light for the world that could sometimes be dark. So I know that with me, you know, my grandmother used to take us to church every Sunday. So was there a situation in your childhood that pushed you towards living a spiritual life, or was it something like that you were made to go to church?
Well, it's kind of a mixture of the two. Because when you're young and everybody you know, basically, and I think it was the Holy Spirit. I think it was definitely God, because everyone that I went to church with, I went to school with. So it wasn't a differentiation between, okay, these are my church friends and these are my school friends. And so they knew me from Melissa in church to Melissa in school. There was no separate personality, so to speak, which was a good thing. I didn't have to, most people sometimes have to change who they are when they're at school, and then at church they're a different person. I was the same Melissa in both places, so that was a blessing. And, yeah, my parents made us go to church. There were Sundays, I'd be a liar if I told you there were Sundays that I wanted to stay home from church. Because,
you know,
you want to stay home from church, and especially as you get older, and you come back home from college, and you think you don't have to go to church. But my parents are like, if you got enough you know, energy to go club on Saturday night, you're going to get up in the morning to go praise him on Sunday morning. So you were told, regardless of how old you think you are and how grown you think you are, you will be going to church on Sunday morning. So there was never, ever, I was never given a reprieve from going to church, you know, which was a good thing.
You know, it is a good thing, and it's like you said a little earlier, you know, if you show a child the way, then eventually if they stray, they'll kind of come back to their own spiritual foundation. I'm an avid believer of having some type of a spiritual type of relationship with a higher power. So being a child, you know, I used to sit in church, and some of those messages, I have to tell you, they were terrifying. So do you believe as a writer and as a woman of God, is there a certain form or a way of communication that works better for children you have found?
Well, you know what? I have been thinking about that, as a matter of fact, and thank you for asking that question, because there is a, I think that the Holy Spirit has a way of reaching even a child. If the person is speaking what God has told them to speak, a little child that's sitting in the audience will be able to receive something from what is being communicated. Even if the smallest thing is, Jesus loves me, if that's the smallest thing that they can get from the actual sermon or message, then that's something that's awesome, because that's the message of Christ.
Right.
So
right.
I don't think there is. I think there is a message. There always is, but the message is going to be the same whether you're 45, 85, 25, 15, or 5. The message is always going to be Jesus loves you, and he's calling you, and he's made you for it to be someone that he could use in the earth. So, yeah, they're methods, but the message will never, ever, ever be different. As long as the person is speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it'll come down to the person's knowledge. So if you don't have to speak lofty, you don't have to use words out of the dictionary to get your point across, let the Holy Spirit use you, and that message will get across without a worry to the smallest child.
Beautifully said, beautifully said. So let's talk about your calling. And why do you think you were called to the mountain of enlightenment?
Wow. I don't, you know what? GD, to be perfectly honest, I ask the Lord, why me? Why me? What is it about me, God, that you want to use me? I am no better than anybody else, but you have chosen me. And I guess that's what's so wonderful about it, because there's really nothing really special about Melissa Ann. There's really nothing, you know, jaw-dropping about me. It's that the God in me. And as long as he chooses to use me, because the greater one is in me, he's empowering me with what to say. So it's really not me, really not Melissa. It's him. So I'm just a vessel to be used. So, again, I ask myself, why me? And I think the answer is because I'm willing. Because I'm willing to do what he says do, regardless of what happens, regardless of what persecution, regardless of whatever, I'm willing to do it. Because I know that he is the ultimate reward. So if I seek him and all that he is, I'm going to get whatever it is I need. He is everything that I need anyway. So that's really, I'm sorry if I didn't answer your question, but that's
no, you did. No, you did. I mean, I wanted to say I just didn't want to interrupt your flow, because it was certainly divine. And when we're talking about the higher power, you know, you got to let it flow. So who am I to interrupt? So who am I to interrupt? I don't mess with God. So
all right.
So you shared with us a little bit about your relationship with the higher power. Can you walk us through a personal experience that assures you that the higher power is stronger than defeat?
Yeah, okay. I'll be a bit transparent. I'll be transparent. There was a time in my life, and my first book talks about, it's called Awesome Wonder, The Gift of Remembrance. And it's about a young lady, much like myself. However, it's fictitious and it's embellished quite a bit, but quite like myself, because she grew up in church and she saw a lot of hypocrisy. She saw a lot of duplicity people that said they love the Lord but would do things that are totally opposite of what the Word of God says. And I saw that as a young lady. I saw that in the church. And you know, I was like, well, God, is that you? Is that really who you are? Because this is not the God I want to serve. If that's who you are, then I'm gonna shut down. You know, that's not what I want. And I saw a lot of people like that, and a lot of friends of mine were turned away from the love of God, the true love of God, because of the unchristlike behavior that they witnessed and that they received. And I was like, God, you know, what is it? What's going on? Why are so many young people leaving the church? Why don't I have the same zeal that I did when I was a 14, 15-year-old? And I'm 25, 28, and don't have the same zeal. And he told me, basically, and this is when I was writing the book, he said, because you were looking at man, you weren't looking at me. You were letting man tell you how to act, or letting man shape me, but you weren't looking to the Word, and that's where I am. That's who I am. And he said, man will disappoint, but I will never disappoint you. You'll never look to me for anything and not be full and not receive all that I have to give. So that kind of came out in my book, my first book. And I think that was not only a freeing literary work for me, but it was a freeing literary work for so many people who read it, because they came to the understanding that you can't look at man. You can only look to the cross. You can only look to the tomb that's empty now because of my love, because of my sacrifice. Let man say what they want to say. Let man behave how they want to behave. You will know me because you'll be able to discern the spirit of the next person, because spirit recognizes spirit. So if you see that it's not me, then you walk away and you turn away from it. Don't let man deter you from the calling that I have on your life. So, you know, that's what really, really made me push forward and say, okay, God, I'm going to be everything that you called me to be. I'm going to do everything that you want me to be, because I see you for who you are. And I want people to see Christ, the reality of Christ, for who he is and all that he is.
I think it's beautiful. I sit here and I listen to you talk. Your words are definitely spoken with conviction and belief. So I wanted to talk a little bit, before we start getting in your books, I wanted to talk about your college years now. You graduated from Rider University. So what was your field of study, and what degree did you earn while you were there?
My field of study was communication, and my concentration was actually radio and TV. I wanted to go into television, go into radio, and do my thing there. And in college, I had a great time in college. I went to Rider University, and Rider University is now much more diverse. But when I went there, it was like maybe 8% black. So,
oh, wow.
When we found each other, it was like a family. You know, we were like, okay, all right, because you gravitate toward who you're familiar with, and basically, you basically look at the person. You say, okay, that person is African American, so am I. I'm sure we have some things, you know. And we just became family. And yeah, we partied. We went to frat parties, and you know, all those types of things, and it was wonderful. But I think it was truly God. Truly the Holy Spirit, because as soon as I got there, what did I seek out? I sought out the choir. I sought out a gospel choir. I sought out the gospel choir because that's what I did when I was home. And that kept me somewhat grounded. And I became a leader on campus based upon that, just one, that connection. I became a leader on the college campus. I became a leader in that and the Black Student Union and became a resident advisor and doing all these wonderful things on campus. You know, I used to have people come over my room, okay, Melissa, pray for me. And, you know, and I didn't think that my walk, to be honest with you, GD, was as good as it should be. You know, I'm at the, you know, at the frat houses till 1, 2
exactly.
o'clock in the morning. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, but people were still able to see God in me. I'm like, oh, my God, how? You know? It was just wonderful how that came about. So I graduated from college and went back home, and that is where I felt like I was being, you know, pulled, because I'm like, I'm not sure what I want to do. I'm just totally confused, you know? And I think that happens to a lot of us.
That's a great segue how you did that. First of all, a couple of points. When you said that you got to school, there was 8% black. But you also said something very profound. You said spirit knows spirit. So your book, you mentioned, Awesome Wonder, The Gift of Remembrance, The Sun and the Blood Done Signed My Name. They have power titles. So where were you at spiritually when you finally came to terms about your assignment while here on Earth?
Wow. Oh, you're right. You have some really, really, really big questions.
Thank you.
Where was I at? Oh, well, okay. I was working in corporate America, and I thought I was doing exactly what I wanted to do. I was a national sales executive working for a very large insurance company in group insurance. So I was able to travel. I was bringing in a nice bit of change. I was loving being a mom and a wife and all those wonderful things. But I was having difficulties on the job, and I didn't know what these difficulties were stemming from. I was blaming, you know, the people. I'm like, okay, God, get these people out of my way because they're causing me issues. I just want to just do my job and be the end of it. And I'm blaming other people, but I, looking back at it, I think I was getting restless. I didn't know how to communicate it, and I didn't know how to, you know, verbalize it. And it was like maybe about a month or two after I said, I just can't take these people anymore. I get an email asking me to join in on a big company-wide conference call. I'm like, what's this conference call about? So I get in the conference call, and something in my spirit says, Melissa, you ain't working there no more. I'm like, okay, this is not what I wanted to hear. And I recognize that as my spirit. I'm just like, oh, yeah, whatever. So I get in a conference call. It was a Monday, and I'm like, they tell us, everyone who did my particular role throughout the organization has been released. They've been laid off. I'm like, oh, really? Is this what's going on? And I'm like, what, God, what am I supposed to be doing? What is this? Because I like buying my shoes, GD. I like going and getting my pocketbook, and
I
know,
I'm
like getting my hair done. I didn't want to impact the household with the things that I was able to do with my paycheck, you know? So I'm like, okay, God, you talk to me. You tell me what's what. And at that point, my relationship was getting more and more. I was getting closer and closer to God. I felt like I was drawing nigh to him, and he was drawing nigh to me. And it was a wonderful experience. And so one night, I'm like, okay, God, what's up? What's going on? You're no longer working in corporate America. You're going to be working for me. I'm working for you. Huh? I don't think this. What money? Money. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Your husband has already covered you. I'm like, okay, yes, he's already covered. Okay, that's all you need to worry about. And I had to take that, and I had to walk with it. And then my husband tells me, if God has called you to write, then you should write. I'm like, whoa. So all that to say, I was in a place of confusion, and I had to hear the voice of God to clear it up.
You know what I think is so uncanny. I had a similar experience in November, you know, and you talk about the, you know, uneasiness and, you know, not really feeling just kind of there. And then you talked about the conference call, and you just automatically knew. I identify with that more than you'll know. And I really do believe in the power of God, and I believe that he is in control of destiny, and he most certainly is here today. And that message that you just said, I definitely embraced it wholeheartedly. So you speak of blinded eyes, impaired hearing, and hardened hearts. Why do you think there is so much unrest right now in the world? Because you had mentioned a little earlier about the hypocrisy within the church. What are your personal thoughts about why, you know, there is so much unrest?
Well, in my fourth book, The Shift, the world, it seems like it's, I don't know, it's getting crazier and crazier and crazier every day. And people are believing the lies of the enemy. They're believing that anything goes, that you can do whatever you want to. You can try. You can say I'm happy and not experience the consequences of being out of the will of God. And people are walking around blind. They're walking around blind, thinking that all they see is what I want to do. No, it is not what you want to do. It is not, and they're not hearing when somebody is, God is speaking so clearly to many, but they're shunning him. They're shunning him because they want to do what they want to do. And it is not about you. It's never been about us. It's always been about his will, his glory. And people forget. And our hearts, many hearts have been hardened because they've been hurt, because they're walking around broken, because they dare not release whatever it is that has them bound, because Christ has come to set the captives free. So you don't have to walk around in shackles. You don't have to walk around in chains. You don't have to walk around oppressed by the enemy or what the enemy tells you. So many people walking around with cloud, walking around in a fog, so to speak. Because the enemy is lied. You've heard the enemy, and it's, you've heard and be hurt, and you've been hurt, so your heart's been hardened, and you dare not hear the voice of God when he's consistently speaking through someone to you for you to hear what he has to say about you and your life. So, and I think that the church, the body of Christ, has a lot to do with that. I think that a lot of people have been church hurt by things that have happened in their life because of what they saw and what they experienced at church. I think they a lot of people have been hurt by what they've seen their family do to them. And as a result, they have become, they've become hardened. They become just mad and angry. And they have not, their hearts have turned to stone. When the word of God says, I can turn that heart of stone into flesh so that you can feel and that you can understand me and you can receive my love. So we are working, and there's so much unbelief in the world that it's getting so crazy. You say Jesus Christ's name and people will get angry at you because the enemy has, it's been so successful in lying to the masses that they don't even want to hear Jesus' name anymore. So that's where it all comes from. People have been lied to. People have decided not to hear. And people have been hardened by so many things.
I agree. I certainly agree. And when you're talking about within the walls of the church, you know, most certainly if you go there and you're looking for one thing, peace of mind, and you wind up getting the bickering and, you know, the backbiting and the judgment, you know. Like you said, church hurt. I believe that was a perfect word. We live in a world today that continues to ride vehicles of violence and persecution of what is deemed odd or different. From your perspective, what do you think drives the insatiable urge for so many to point their finger at other people without pointing it back at themselves?
Well, I think that as a believer in Jesus Christ, me, I can only speak for Melissa. Mm-hmm. If I point you to the word, Melissa's not pointing the finger at you. So if I say, okay, Joe Blow, what you're doing and how you're living is not in line with what the Bible says, I can tell you that, and I can point you to the word. So it is not Melissa saying it. It is the word of God speaking to you. So it's not so much as Melissa pointing a finger. It's that I'm trying to say, okay, God loves you. He wants you to be, and he wants you so much that he's calling you right now. But the way that you are behaving, the way that you are living, the way that you are treating other people is not in line with his love and is not in line with his will for you. So how can I show you that? I take them back to the word of God, and I open the word of God to them. Because so many people are speaking from their opinion, which is totally, totally not the right way to go. You have to speak from what the word of God is indicating. And when the word of God is brought the Word of God is so sharp, it'll cut like a two-edged sword, and it gets to the intent of the heart, and it goes to the heart of the matter. So that person can be totally shut down in front of you. But if you show them the Word of God and you speak the Word of God, it's going to have to open them up. Maybe not in front of you at that moment, but the Word of God is so powerful that when that person gets on by themselves, the Holy Spirit will bring back the Word of God to that person's remembrance, and that they will probably have to just listen or just meditate on it and just hear it. They may not automatically be obedient to it, but all we can do as believers is just plant the seed and say, this is what God is saying about you. This is what God wants to do in your life. And this is why God is saddened by your behavior. So this is what you need to do in order to get into the place where God can use you. And then pray. Pray for that person. Automatically shaking that finger with your own words is not going to do it. Only God,
right.
Only God can bring change. Only the Holy Spirit can bring change. The only Father God can draw. We can say as much as we want to say, but only the Holy Spirit can prick the heart of man and bring them into the kingdom of God.
You go on and speak, why don't you, my sister? Your speaking logic is just so eloquent. I love hearing you talk. So within the pages you have written, there is a theme of, while we're on this subject, the execution of God's divine design. What do you believe is God's divine design?
I believe that God's divine design is that we walk in the fullness of who he is and who he has called us to be. So many people say, oh, greater is he that is within me than is in the world. But let us see, let us walk in that greatness. God desires for us to walk in the greatness that is him. So when we walk in the greatness that is him, and when people, unbelievers, see that, we glorify the Father. And when we glorify the Father, when we lift up the name of Jesus, the Bible says, all men will be drawn to him. So when we walk in that, that's God's great design. And he wants us to not, people say that we're fighting a war, we're fighting a war. Maybe. People may think we're fighting a war, and you may be fighting a war within yourself, but truth be told, the war has already been won. Victory is already ours because the blood of Jesus already did that. He's already cleansed us. He's already made us victorious. He's already caused us to triumph. All we have to do is believe in the greatness that he is in us and that he is working in us to do what he has called us to be in this earth. So what we have to do? Occupy. What does that mean, occupy? That means walk in the greatness of who he is in this earth. Show people who he is. Exhibit the love of Christ. Share the word of God. That will cause people to be drawn to him because we're lifting up the name of Jesus. And that's all I try to do in my novels. I want you to understand stories are fictitious and people are going through things every day. But ultimately, we're lifting up the name of Jesus so that God can be glorified. And when God is glorified, more people will come to know who he is. Therefore, we are occupying the earth, showing all that God is all that he says he is. He is real. He is so real.
Your spiritual conviction is so compelling, I just have to say. I'm going to really enjoy going back over this. I always tell the guests, you know, and the listeners that, you know, I'm so preoccupied in trying to make sure that I'm pacing myself here and getting the questions out and really showcasing the talent on here. And for those of you who are just tuning in, we are listening to the very spiritual and compelling woman, author, known as M. Ann Ricks. And so I want to go ahead and move into this next sighting. You were cited as saying, there's an urgency in the atmosphere as God is transitioning what the world has deemed impossible. So can you elaborate on that point and explain what that really means?
Sure. Basically, there is, I feel, and if, again, this is just Melissa speaking, and other people can probably attest, God is doing something in the earth. Yes, we see a lot of craziness bubbling up, but we do see a lot of signs and wonders happening. And I believe that God is actually beginning to move faster. He's beginning to accelerate the plan. Just like for my book, I called it The Shift because think of a car. When you're in a car, in order to get one place to the other, you have to shift. And what does that shift do? It accelerates your speed, and it makes you go faster. And it makes and not only does you go faster, you begin to move higher, to me. So when you're shifting, things happen. You're and I believe that people are moving into their calling. They're moving into more of a place where they can be utilized by God. And so what the world has deemed impossible, people being healed from so many different things, people are being changed, their lives are being changed, they're seeing things that they have never seen before. And I believe that the devil is always trying to tell somebody that it can't be done, or that you're too far gone, or he can't use you anymore, or that, you know, it's just your life is over. But God is always saying, I can use you. It's not over. I made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are blessed and highly favored. I know what I did when I made you. I know every hair on your head. So the devil will always try to tell you that it can't be done, but God is always telling you, I can do the impossible. All things are possible through me. So I want people to understand that even though craziness is coming in on one end, God is about to do something awesome in their lives. You just have to believe the impossible, because our God is a God that can tell you to speak and mountains will move. Our God tells us that if you pray, he hears you. He says your petitions are heard. All you do is have to ask me and believe and don't doubt. And that whatever you ask of me, I will do it. So things are happening. Things are happening. And things are not happening for the naked eye, for the natural man. You have to look beyond in the supernatural, because that's where everything starts. It starts in the supernatural, and it's manifested in the natural. So be ready, because a move of God is certainly coming, certainly coming.
You got to put tears in my eyes. I just believe in the love that is God. I really do, and I just want to thank the God above for sending Amen Ricks my way to A Touch of Grace, so that we can go ahead and get the word out here about, you know, the wonder that is the higher power. You know, I'm one who believes that there are angels all around us doing the work of the higher power selflessly, without a claim or fame. Now, that's my interpretation. What is yours?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, good God. You just glory to God. My book is talking about, my book, The Shift, talks about, oh, my God. God, you are so awesome. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. We're talking about, in my book, talking about angels and things that are going on in the supernatural. Angels and also the enemy's minions, which are demons. So I truly believe wholeheartedly, GD, that there are angels, angels ascending and descending, doing the work of the master, even when we don't even realize that they're doing it. They are right now in the spiritual realm, they are moving up and down based upon somebody's request in Jesus' name. They are moving. And just like the angels are moving, the enemies are trying to speak negativity in the ears of those people. God ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. But glory to God, he will do everything, right? I don't know who this is for, but he will do everything that he said he was going to do for you. Everything. Just believe in his name and trust in him right now, because angels are moving right now on your behalf. He says, I hasten to my word to perform it. He didn't say I'm going to take forever. He said, I hasten to my word. Hasten means he's going to go fast. It's going to move fast. Things are going to happen in your life that you won't even know, that it's going to go fast. So just believe God, whatever that's for, and tell the devil to shut up. Rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, because he has no power over you, because you are a child of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose on the third day, stating all power is in his hands, then believe me, sister or brother, God is not done with you yet. Whatever you have asked him for is coming to pass in Jesus' name.
Oh, man. And I have to tell you, for those of you who are tuning in, as you can see, a woman of God speaks with such conviction and genuineness. And I have to tell you, her books are out there, and I'd like you to go ahead and support what she's putting out into the atmosphere as far as soul story. So her books are Awesome Wonder, The Gift of Remembrance, The Son of the Blood, wait a minute, The Son, and The Blood, Done Signs, My Name, and then also, too, she calls one The Shift. Where can your books be purchased at, Melissa?
My books can be purchased via my website, www.annricks.net. They can be purchased via Amazon. They can be purchased, you know, all the literary online establishments, Barnes & Noble's. Wherever you can purchase a book, you can purchase my book there, too. You may have to place an order for it, and they'll call in. They'll, you know, they'll order it in for you. But those, my books are able to be purchased wherever you can purchase a book.
That sounds wonderful. And I have to tell you, I'm going to give you one more question, but and it's going to be a powerful one to end this wonderful segment. I thank the higher power above for making this first show of Black History Month be one for the record books. There is so much power in the words that M. Ann Ricks has spoken today, and hopefully you'll go back and listen to this and find a meaning for yourself, for your life. So the question that I have, and it seems to me like it's the right question to ask, how strong do you believe the power of prayer is?
The power of prayer is stronger than anything that I can think of. The power of prayer. It's the power of prayer, yes, but it's the power of belief behind that prayer. So you can pray, and you can pray words, but if you believe what you're praying for, and you believe without a shadow of a doubt that what your God is hearing your prayer, and you believe that God can answer your prayer, your prayer is powerful than any surgeon's hands. Your prayer is powerful than anything on earth. Because that's supernatural, supernatural, more than natural. It is God. And God is bigger than anything that we can imagine. So, yes, the power of prayer is big, but the belief in that prayer, the belief in that prayer is powerful than anything anybody can imagine.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm glad that that's how we're going to end this segment today. Ladies and gentlemen, A Touch of Grace is truly something that was given to me by the power above, and I will ensure that I always bring incredible people. That's my favorite word. I must have wore it out during the last segment I spoke. But I just wanted to say that if you have something that is not stirring right in your soul, you know, then, you know, reach out and reach up. And get down on your knees and, you know, pray, you know, and have faith that things will be okay. So, M. Ann Ricks, it has been a pleasure to have you on iArtist this afternoon. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave listeners with today as we close?
Oh, it's been an awesome experience, dialoguing with you, fellowshipping with you. It seems that our dialogue was just so seamless, and I know that the Holy Spirit was right in the middle. So I just thank you for the opportunity to share and to just talk with you. It's been a blessing. You have blessed me immensely. I just wanted to thank those of you who are listening. Give God your all. He died for you. Live for him in Jesus' name.
Amen. And with that, I want to say, everyone, it's Black History Month. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we stand upon many shoulders who weathered so many storms, lynchings, water hole squirting, burning of houses, burning of crosses in front of our yard. But they did all of that, and they stepped out on courage so that we could have and live some type of freedom that we could enjoy this life. So with that, I'd like to say thank you for supporting the show. Have a wonderful afternoon. Take care.